the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.
Hi, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Dan Latto, and in this podcast, I want to talk to you about whether you should be going all in or not. And so there's a couple of issues that I've got, really. I mean, I've got a lot of issues, but I've got a couple of issues with regard to going in all in or not. So let me just run past a couple of examples for you, and then you can get an idea about what I'm referring to. So the first example is when you're investing in property. You know, I've seen people have got like 100 grand, and they've got, you know, 10 or 15% off some like apartments that are off plan. So off plan basically means that you're buying it from literally the plans, and they'll be built in say 12 months time. And so a lot of developers give a discount in order to like get your money in to get an agreement in principle that you are actually going to buy the units. And usually they can take that agreement in principle, take it to the bank will release funds, and then they can start the build. So that's one of the reasons why the banks do it. And I've seen people, you know, 25% deposits, and we're going to buy 4 units all in the same block. And that's a massive, massive issue, because, and I've seen this, you know, when during the boom times in Leeds, for example, 10, 15 years ago, well, 10 years ago, I saw this just before the crash, and all these new builds were coming on, studios going for like 120,000, and people going, oh, that's such a good deal. £120,000 for a studio in Leeds City Centre is a crazy, crazy price. It's a crazy price in 2018. It was a crazy price 10 years ago. You know, we were buying stuff for like £60,000-£70,000. And people were buying stuff for 120 grand. And I'm like, you're buying its future value. That's not a discount. If you bought it today, you know, at the time, you should be picking up for 80 or 90,000. But they were spending 130, 120,000 on studios. But they'd go and buy 4 units on the same block. And I would be like, well, how do you know that that block, I mean, we bought into a block. We bought 1 unit in that block, and the block just turned into, I don't know, think of somewhere that's not very nice. I was going to use like Beirut or the Bronx in the 70s, but I don't know if they were nice or not, frankly. So I can't use those as an example. But this particular location, it wasn't a very nice location, and it went downhill very quickly because people that bought them were sold to a lot of developers, or investors, I should say, and they just put DSS in, which brought down the standards of a place. They had a lot of people from overseas coming in who were legal immigrants, paying cash, and then subletting. Just loads and loads and loads of problems. I mean, imagine if you bought 4 units in there. So one of the units I bought was £250,000. It was one of the penthouses. That now is worth maybe 180,000 on a good day. So there's a 70 grand loss straight away for you. So like, we make mistakes too, right? But, and eventually over time that will go back up. It's rented out, we're very happy. The rent more than covers the mortgage, so we get monthly cash flow from it. So it actually doesn't affect us on a day-to-day basis. But if, you know, if we had to sell it for some reason, then it would affect us. And touch wood, we don't need to sell it. But imagine if we'd have bought 4 units in there. You know, that £70,000 lost times 4 is nearly £250,000. 7, 14, 21, 28. It's 280,000. It's more than £250,000. And so it's just a massive, massive mistake. And you can't buy 4 units in the same place. Now, look, if you've got, you know, 200 units, then actually buying 4 in the same place isn't that bad, because, you know, you've got your other 200 units that are going to protect you from making those sort of mistakes. But if you've got 0 properties, or you've got 2 properties, and then you're buying 4 in the same unit, then that's ridiculous. Don't do it. Buy 1. Hang on to your money. I know it's really hard, though, because the money's burning a hole in your pocket and you want to invest it. You know, you've got to invest it. And it's like, just hang on a minute. Slow down. Let's just slow down. Let's buy 1. Let's see how that 1 goes. And then later on, there will be a market in that development for those units that you didn't buy, because people will be buying off plan and then sell. Yeah, you might have to pay a little bit different price-wise, but I'd rather pay a little bit more, but knowing that the development is going to be a good investment. And it does take a little bit of time for the development to settle, like a year or two at least, because, you know, after the initial... So think about this, right? So imagine there's 200 units all coming available in the same development. Block of city centre flats, 200 units all in the same development. what happens after completion day on all 200 units? Well, 200 units are coming onto the market. What rents do you think you're going to get? So let's say that you should be able to get 700 quid a month normally on a one bed. Well, people will be renting that stuff out for like 450 quid. Well, what sort of type of tenant do you think you're going to get? The £700 type of tenant or the 450 quid type of tenant? Well, you're going to get the 450 quid one. So the standards are different in terms of tenants. That's why the units, the standard of the units comes down a little bit. Now, I know that's also very snobby. There's nothing wrong with people who can only pay 450 quid rent. And I agree, there's nothing wrong with those people whatsoever. We're all at different levels, right? But as a collective, you know, 200 units with people on 450 quid versus 200 units on people on 700 quid a month rent, there's a big difference there. And I'm sure you can see that as well. I've been very politically correct this morning, which is quite unlike me, but there you go. Maybe I've not had my enough coffee as yet. So that's one really good example about when people go all in, when actually you should hang on. You know, if there's, there's always lots of developments coming up. So you should buy one in one place, one in somewhere else. You know, if that money is burning a hole in that pocket and you have to spend it, one in a different place, one in somewhere else and so on, and just spread that risk. I mean, that's also not to say that you shouldn't, you should be diversifying into different asset classes as well. You know, how about putting a little bit of money into Bitcoin mining, which is one of the things we're doing right now. And we're getting, you know, on a $500 right now, we're getting a $38 a month return. Well, that takes 13 months to get our 100% back. And then we're in profit all the way, which is really good. And that's based on today's prices. And obviously, you know, today's prices, I don't know what it is this morning, actually. I'm guessing it's about £7,000 is Bitcoin. But, you know, when it was £15,000, then that £38 would be almost £80. So, it's really dropped. It's £6,000. There's some news that's come out about regulation for cryptocurrencies. So that's one of the reasons why it's dropped. That's a significant drop, however, down to £6,000. What a time to buy, folks. But again, don't go all in, which nicely leads me on to going all in on cryptocurrency. And I say to people, you know, let's look at mining for a second. On cryptocurrency, there's two big risks on cryptocurrency. The first risk is cryptocurrency, right? Bitcoin is one of the most volatile things. It's more volatile than sticky dynamite. Sticky dynamite, by the way, is very volatile because it's the glycerin that seeps its way out and it becomes very, very volatile. So, and Bitcoin is like sticky dynamite, okay? It's really volatile. And even if you know what you're doing, it can still bite you. Okay, so, and I've seen people go all in on Bitcoin. But there's two risks here. The first one is Bitcoin. And then the second risk is the company that you're going through to get your Bitcoin. So like, for example, for me, with the mining stuff that we're doing, you know, I put my money into that company that then mines Bitcoin. I'm not buying Bitcoin, it's mining Bitcoin. So if that company goes bust, they've got that my money and they're not paying me back. So there's the extra risk. And so you have to work that through your own risk assessment as to how risky you are with those type of investments, okay? Like, you could actually buy your own mining equipment. That would reduce the risk. I mean, the risk being that you just end up with mining equipment that you can't use, but then you just swap coins with it because you can mine different coins with that mining equipment anyway, other than Bitcoin. So, and I know people, they've gone all in on Bitcoin and they went all in at 15 grand. Like, yeah, that could have doubled to 30 grand. Why are you going all in? It's crazy. Well, I've got 50 grand and we're going to go all in. We end up with, what, three and a bit Bitcoins. And now that 50 grand is worth like 20 because they went all in. That's crazy. Like, dollar cost average. Have you heard that term? Dollar cost averaging? Dollar cost average is, I've got 50 grand. Therefore, I'm going to do 5 grand a month for the next 10 months. And that's brilliant because now if you'd have taken advantage of that, for example, yeah, your first month at 15,000 in December, you would have got £5,000 worth and that would have dropped. But then in January and February and now March, you'd be buying it in at just over £6,000. And it averages out. Now, there's a really good book called Money by Tony Robbins. And there's another follow-up book to that, really, called Unshakable, also by Tony Robbins. Listen to both on Audible is my recommendation. And it talks about dollar cost averaging and it uses really good examples versus the FTSE 100 about going all in and dollar cost averaging it. And it, dollar cost averaging just works. And it doesn't sound like it does, because it's like, yeah, but there's something called FOMO, F-O-M-O, which stands for fear of missing out. And people go, yeah, but I don't want to miss out, so I'm going to go all in. I've put all the chips in the middle of the table. And listen to the analogy I'm using. I'm using a gambling analogy, because that's what it is. Bitcoin is not an investment. Bitcoin is, let's take a punt, see what happens. Let's put, a bit of money on a trap six at the dogs, at the dog racing, which I also wouldn't advise, because that's what's a nice way of saying it? I used to work in a betting shop at William Hill, taking bets over telephones, and the dogs was always, not biased, that's not the word, but the dogs, when like they overfeed the dogs, so they can't run as fast, that kind of thing, right? So I hear. So I don't know how true that is. But, and I know people, if they've gone all in on cryptocurrency and now it's affected their cash flow. So now another great investment comes along and they can't invest in it because they've spent all the money on Bitcoin because they've got far too excited. So they had FOMO, fear of missing out, and now they've missed out. So it's really funny how, well, it's not funny, but it's crazy how this fear of missing out means that people then miss out on other things. And, you know, it's a massive problem. You can't go all in. I mean, well, you can, but you shouldn't. You should be diversifying your portfolio and spreading the risk, because there's low risk, there's medium risk, and there's high risk. Now, for me, property investment that generates monthly cash flow is low risk. Now, you speak to somebody else who's not got 20 years experience, or go speak to a person who works in a bank, and they'll tell you how risky property is. For them, property is very high risk. And I remember 20 years ago saying, oh, I'm going to get into property. And people go, oh, it's risky, is that? It's really high risk, you know, you don't want to do that. And it's high risk when you don't know what you're doing, like anything. But for me personally, property investing on a monthly cash flow is low risk, because we've done it for 20 years and we've pretty much seen everything. You know, we've had cannabis farms, and we've had people refusing to move and not pay. We've had all sorts. I mean, we've had some really crazy stuff. We've had crazy tenants and, so we've had all sorts. But you've got to be looking at diversifying that portfolio from low risk, medium risk, and high risk. Why go all in on a high risk investment or gamble like Bitcoin? That just doesn't make sense to me. You want to be putting some money into low risk, you know, getting 10% returns, by the way, which are really good returns on property, which is what we get. That's low risk. How's that for a low risk investment? A medium risk is, you know, we're putting stuff into some crowdfunding and we're getting between 20 and 30% returns a year. That's medium risk, I'd say. Medium to high, really. And then the high risk is things like Bitcoin. The other one, by the way, it's medium to high risk because I've got no control over it. At least with my property, I can kick tenants out, or I can repaint it and make it look pretty and put new furniture in. So I've got some level of control. The medium risk, I have control over which investments I'm going to put my money into through that crowdfunding. And the crowdfunding platform I use has several different investments that you can put your money into. And so you can spread your risk within that crowdfunding platform. That's quite nice. But then your high risk stuff is your cryptocurrency. I've got absolutely zero control over that. And the people who've got bigger control are people like JP Morgan, who manipulate that market. We call them whales. The people who've got lots of money, the people who, you know, SEC in America comes out, the Security and Exchange Committee, they come out and say, oh, we're going to legislate cryptocurrency, and cryptocurrency bombs like it has done. The only thing that you can do is buy at that point. Like, you can't sell at that point because the price is too low, but you can make a decision to buy or not. But you've got to be spreading your risk between low, medium, and high. Do not, whatever you do, go all in. Okay, some good lessons in there for you. I hope you can get enough out of that, and I hope that it gives you some food for thought in your investment strategies, and I also hope that it saves you some money from not going all in. If you want to give me some feedback, I'd love to hear that. Come and join me on Facebook. Come and join my YouTube channel, and you can laugh at me on my weight loss journey, which is quite interesting. We did a video yesterday, day 7, and it's the Friends edition. So I added a ton of canned laughter to it. which I thought was hilarious, by the way, but I'm not sure everybody else is. But I'm not doing it for everybody else. I'm doing those videos for me and my own accountability. But I thought let's at least make them a little bit interesting. So anyway, go check them out and give me some feedback. Let me know what you're thinking. All right, my name's Dan Latta. Hope that's useful for you, and we will speak to you soon. Take care.
The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.